And Father, as we prepare to press into your word, I pray that you would come and bring forth revelation, bring forth understanding, bring forth divine impartation today, Lord God, into each of us. Open up your scriptures to us, Lord God, that we might receive the precious nuggets contained in your word. Oh, Father God, the beauty of your word. Open it up to us. Open it up to us. Open the secrets up to us, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. In your precious and most holy name. Amen. Ephesians. This has been such a rich, rich book. So full of practical application, yes, but the spiritual application of this book transforms us. It transforms us to become the body that God has called us to become. Last week, we touched briefly on the apostles, on the teachers. See Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we would henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, may increase of the body, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now we talked about those different offices and the purpose of those offices. But one thing in common, one thread that every one of those offices should have is that of intercession. The intercessor weeps, wails, cries out, agonizes. The intercessor is the heartbeat of God. The intercessor hears from the Spirit what needs to go forth in the earth. We are the heartbeat of God. The season of the intercessor is coming. That's why more and more intercessors are rising up. God is working to train, to prepare, to develop, to mature the intercessor to rise up and take their place. All that these offices, the thing that all of these offices have in common should be that they are intercessors. Intercessors. How can a person be a prophet without being an intercessor? Without pressing in to God? Without hearing the heart of God and weeping it into the earth Our hearts breaking with his over the sin of the earth. Jesus, a prophet, was an intercessor. Was he not? Did he not, in John 17, pray for his disciples and pray for us? He's about to go to the cross, and he is on his face before God praying for us. Those who haven't even been born yet, asking that the Lord, God would keep us, protect us, shield us from the attacks of the enemy, that we would be able to finish the course. Elijah was a man of prayer. Elisha was a man of prayer. David was a man of prayer. Weeping and wailing before God over the sins of a nation, they sought him. They sought him. Teachers, how can we effectively teach the Word of God if we don't have a prayer life so that we can get the nuggets, the deep truths out of that Word and bring them forth? How do we get the anointing that comes with being a teacher if we don't pray? The intercessor been cast out for too long. The intercessor is the glue that holds the body together. The intercessor carries with it the Spirit of the living God, and it is released into the earth. All the offices given by God must be conducted through the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God weeps. And the Spirit of God will continue to weep until he takes us all home. Why? Because there is sin in this earth separating God from his creation. The intercessor weeps over the sin of man. The intercessor weeps over the heartbreak of man. Why? Because it is God, our Creator, interceding, praying through the intercessor. Our Creator, when our child hurts, do we not weep with them? Nothing drives us to the prayer closet like a need of a child. Nothing. If our child's in need, we go to prayer. If our child's in crisis, we go to prayer. If our child's in sin, we go to prayer. That's what a parent does. That's why God intercedes for his creation. He is the Creator, longing for relationship with his creation, craving intimacy with his creation, so much so that he sent his only begotten Son to walk this earth, who knew no sin, to die. Why? Intimacy with his creation. The heart of the intercessor births intimacy with the Creator. The intercessor unites God with the creation. The intercessor is able to discern, to take in all of this information that the earth throws at him and weep before God. because we aren't worried about the point. We weep and our tears bring forth the healing. We weep and our tears bring forth the healing. How can you be a pastor without being an intercessor? A pastor, that's a shepherd. He tends his flock. He cares for their needs. If they're sick, they call the pastor, come pray for me, pastor. If they're hurting, they call the pastor, my heart is breaking, pray for me, pastor. If they're lost and need to find their way back, they call their pastor, pastor, can you leave the 99 and come get me? I need to come home now. A pastor who has extended the love of Christ effectively will be that first call. Because that lost one knows who to call. A shepherd. Why? Because he has gone to the prayer closet on behalf of his flock. He has sought the heart of God for his flock. What do I minister to them? Lord God, what does this flock need? What is the one message I can deliver today that will impact all of them? Touch them where they're at. Give me your voice, your word for the flock. How can you be a pastor without first being an intercessor? How can we function in these levels of ministry without first being an intercessor? The intercessor has been cast aside, but today the Lord is raising up the intercessor. Because the time is short. And the intercessor can pray it through. The intercessor will pray it through. Because the intercessor hears the heart of God. And as long as the heart of God is breaking, the intercessor's heart breaks with him. And the intercessor will carry it through across the finish line. The intercessor is the voice of God. The intercessor is the heart of God. The intercessor is the cry of God. How can we function in an office ordained by God without being an intercessor? I don't think it's possible. I think it's done. But I don't think it's possible. As a pastor, as a prophet, as an apostle, as a teacher, any gift given has been given to bring the body of Christ into maturity. We are to create, we are to help the body of Christ rise up and out of the world, setting aside their old self. We don't just have the badge of Christianity and carry on the activities of the old self. We read about that in Ephesians 4 and 5, the old self. The sin that we engaged in, that's a beautiful thing about Paul. He always gives out practical application of the truth he's releasing. Always, without fail, every epistle. He shares the gospel message. He gives profound truth and insight into the Spirit of the living God, and he gives practical application. He gives correction. But he always gives a practical application of the message he's bringing forth. The offices, the gifts have been given to edify the body of Christ, to transform them, to shape them, to mold them. What? Into Christ's image. Raising up those who have been baptized into Christ, who step into the garment of Christ. That garment should swallow us up. And so when people look at us, they see Christ. The offices have been created to prepare the church, to prepare us to enter into maturity in Him. We talked to this last week. Christ is the head, we're the body. He thinks we do. We're just here. He gives the commands. He gives the orders. We gladly follow them. Without thinking, because we're led by the Spirit of the living God. He is calling us into a place of maturity. Time is speeding up. It's short. And he's calling us into maturity in him. Why? Because of the release that is coming in the earth. All of creation has been waiting for this release. 6,000 years we've been waiting for the release. The manifestation of the sons of God. The release of the glory and the power of the living God in the earth, where we are vessels and His glory flows through us. Vessels of light. Vessels of light walking amidst the darkness. Tommy Hicks' vision back in 1961. We have yet to see that. But it's coming. Why the intercessor? The call of the intercessor has gone forth. The call of the intercessor has been sent out. Who is answering that call? Are we answering the call of the intercessor? Because that's who's rising right now, the intercessor. Why? Because we bring forth the voice of the Lord. We move in accordance with the heartbeat of God. All that we do is done according to the instructions of the living God. That is a level of refining He's been taking us through. Why do you think the last few years have been so difficult? Some of it's attack. But nothing happens to us that's not first filtered through the fingers of God, is it not? Am I right? Nothing happens that is not first filtered through the fingers of God. And in Romans we learned, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. Remember that word, according? I had no idea the significance of according until we studied Romans. That is bringing forth God's heavenly purposes, kata, bringing forth his heavenly purposes, that which is in the heavenly realm, down here and releasing it in the earth. According to his plans and purposes. Bringing forth his plans and purposes in the earth. Are you bringing forth his plans and purposes? Are you? I really want you to ask yourself that question. Pause and think of that. Are you bringing forth the plans and purposes of our Heavenly Father in the earth? That's the cry of the intercessor. To bring forth God's heavenly plans and purposes in the earth. I told you before, I never thought I was called to be an intercessor. Bring me into war. Ricky means mighty warrior. My mom didn't know that when she named me. She didn't know what she was getting. Warrior. Bring me into war. Raquel, derivative of Rachel. Weeping. Weeping for her children. Weeping. Weeping. God knew he was going to have to create two sides. He knew what he was going to have to take me through to create the intercessor in me, to bring forth the intercessor. What has he done in your life to create the intercessor in you? People call and they say, you know, I just don't understand why I have to keep going through this. I mean, the struggles are just so great. They're so great, so great. And I think now I have your answer. Have you ever thought maybe, just maybe, you're called to be an intercessor? God is just drawing you into the prayer closet. Have you ever thought about that? What has God done in your life? What has God allowed in your life to bring forth his heavenly purposes into the earth? People say things didn't used to be this hard, you know. Yeah, we worked. We had a few struggles now and again. But man, it just seems nonstop. He's bringing forth the intercessor. All things work together for good, to those who are called, according to the plans and purposes of our Heavenly Father. All things work together for good to those who are called according. Are you called to bring forth the heavenly purposes into this earth? I look back at Tommy Hicks' vision. Thousands upon tens of thousands rising up. Vessels of light going over all the earth to bring forth the light of the living God in the earth. The glory of the living God in the earth. That is an army of intercessors. An army of intercessors. They've got the diligence and the persistence of a warrior, yet they know the heart of God and they birth it in the earth. They hear the heartbeat of God. Psalms 91, what does that require? You to be tucked under the shadow of the Almighty, under his wing, you will trust. You got to be under his wing. My daughter has a pair of doves that build a nest outside her home. She's got a pair in the front and a pair in the back. Every year, they keep coming back. And those babies are born and they stay tucked under the wing of their parents. Tucked under. You don't even know there's babies there until that parent goes off to get food and you hear them chirping. Because they're so tucked under the wings of those parents. Are we tucked under the wing of our God? So close that we retain the warmth of his feathers and we hear his heartbeat next to us so that we can what? Birth his will, his plans, his purposes in the earth. Time is running out. That's why the temperature's been raised. They're out there crying out. Global warming, they have no idea what kind of warming is happening. It's the Spirit of the living God rising up in the intercessors, releasing his plans and purposes in the earth. That's the warming this globe is experiencing. The fire of God is about to come forth and ripple across this earth because the earth is crying out for the release of the sons of God. The sons of God, what are they? They are mature children. According to Ephesians 4, according to what Paul writes, they are mature sons of God. In Romans, he talks about the manifestation of the sons of God. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking about a mature church rising up. Maturity in God. No more babes cast to and fro with every wind of doctrine. He says, you got to speak the truth in love. What does that mean? That word truth means truthing. It's a verb. Truth is typically a noun. This is a verb. Truthing. Are you truthing? Are you living out the truth of the gospel? Are you living out the precepts of God? Are you living out? Are you speaking out the truth of God into those you come in contact with? Are you truthing with your brothers and sisters in the Lord? Are you bringing forth the doctrine of the living God in this earth? Are you raising up mature sons of God? Are you truthing so that you can bring forth the heart of God in the earth? The Spirit is crying out for the release. The earth is bursting at the seams, waiting for the manifestation. We have to be ready for that manifestation to come forth. Do you know that? If we're not ready, it's not going to come forth. Thus, the earth is crying out. The earth is crying out. Because the church isn't ready. The earth is ready. I shared this before. Volcanoes and earthquakes. I mean, I'm talking the earth is literally crying out. Volcanoes and earthquakes are at a record high in the history of the earth. We are having more earthquakes and volcano eruptions across the globe in a week than we used to have in an entire month. We've had more in the last 30 days than we used to have each year prior. The earth is crying out for the manifestation of the mature sons of God. And if you're sitting there saying, what about the daughters? Maturity knows the earth is crying out for the sons of God to be released. We don't get stuck on that. That word sons means both male and female. He's talking about God's creation to rise up and be and walk in the fullness he's created them to walk in. We are to be the body of Christ. We are to be the bride of Christ. We are to be his and his alone, pure, undefiled. setting aside the things of the world and embracing the things of God, because all that matters is His will, His plans, His purposes being birthed in the earth today. Because time is short. Those who don't get saved won't get saved. Do we understand that? When the church rises up in the fullness of what God has created her to be, do you know that is when the worldwide revival will take place? Because people will see there's a God worth serving. There's a God worth serving. Every God out there requires constant sacrifice, don't they? Constant. But they never give it back. They never give back. Our God is the only God that gave His only Son for us. We may have these little sacrifices we have to make, but He gave His Son that we might have life with Him and have it abundantly, that we might have eternal life with Him and have it abundantly. He is the only true God. He is the only God worth serving. He is the only God worth serving. He is the only one that will give you far more than you can ever give Him. He is. He is. What did He tell Abraham? I am. He is. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You.